In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Two days ago, this room was buzzing, as it is every weekday morning, with over 400 people, most of them children. Fridays, as you probably know, are our guitar chapels at Trinity School, which means a few adults and kids situate themselves up here before the altar, playing their guitars from the songs drawn from the green books there in the pews in front of you. Guitar chapel is a long-standing Friday tradition at Trinity School. The kids love it. The adults love it. Every week we have dozens of parents and sometimes a few alums who have decided that guitar chapel is how they want to start their Friday, reveling in the joy of singing and community that are the hallmarks of our chapel services at Trinity. Everyone is welcome, of course. You are welcome any morning you'd care to come to this room, because here at 8:15 every weekday, almost without exception during the school year, we come together singing and praying and coming together before God to listen to a bit of scripture, to hear a message of hope, and so start our days with the certainty that we are all welcomed in the household of God. Very few schools in this country have daily chapel like we do, but it is the glue that holds us together. It is the daily opportunity for us to focus on the really important things in life, to remember who we are and who at our best we're striving to be. Today, of course, is Episcopal School Sunday, our day to especially recognize and celebrate the fact that among the many powerful ministries of Trinity Church is Trinity School. Let me take a moment to ask anyone here who goes to Trinity School to stand up, please, and stay standing. How about anyone who themselves went to Trinity School but doesn't go anymore? How about those who send or once sent your children to Trinity School? How about all those who currently work at Trinity School or in any way contribute to the work of the school? An awful lot of folks. Now, I'd ask everyone to be seated except those who are working at Trinity today, whom I think we should all applaud for the wonderful work that they do in this place. Thank you so much. It's perhaps the greatest professional honor of my life that I get to represent and serve these talented and dedicated men and women who are doing God's work in our school every day. In the crush and hubbub of day-to-day life, it can be easy to lose sight of the important truth that, just like the Loaves and Fishes Ministry and the TEEP Summer Program, Trinity School is indeed part of the work of this parish in advancing the kingdom of God. That's something I remind the Trinity School faculty of often. At our school, we are engaged in holy work. We are building up the kingdom of God one child at a time by shaping the next generation as capable and compassionate, as intelligent and kind, by building, as our mission statement names it, upstanders who will make a positive difference in the world. To help me explain what we strive to do at Trinity School as one of the many ministries of this church, I want to take you back to our gospel story today. To be honest, this old school teacher finds a little humor in the situation depicted in Mark's gospel. Jesus is teaching, and right there in the room was someone with an unclean spirit. Depending on how you define unclean spirit, I have been in similar classrooms. And right in the middle of Jesus' authoritative teaching, there is a disturbance. Out of the blue, this unclean spirit calls out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus?" Sounds like a few middle schoolers I've had in my classes over the years. What this is, when you boil it down, is a classic teachable moment. Teaching the demons, teaching the others in the synagogue at the time, and teaching those who read about it in Mark, like us. The power of the teachable moment is what our life and ministry at Trinity School is about every day. To get at exactly how Jesus turns this classroom disruption into a teachable moment for the ages, we need a little background. For starters, this is Jesus' first miracle in the book of Mark. Whereas the first miracle in Jesus depicts in John is turning water into wine, Mark is all about the healing miracles, Fully 13 of the 18 miracles in Mark's gospel are about healing, and 4 of those getting demons to leave. For Mark, this is the true litmus test, the real proof of Jesus' true authority. Those whom Jesus encounters are made whole. The power to heal is the authoritative mark of those working to build the kingdom of God. Jesus stops what he's doing and focuses on this man and his demons. With a few short words, Jesus silences the unclean spirit and frees the man from it. With a moment of attention and care, Jesus makes the man whole. This kind of teacher, the teacher who really sees and responds to the deepest suffering and need, and rising to the occasion with attention and care, heals and builds up. This is the kind of teachers we at Trinity School, when we're at our best, strive to be. It's the kind of Christian I think we all strive to be, whatever our role is in this world, whatever our gifts. When a student is struggling in class, the best teachers take time out of their free periods to work with them. When an athletic team falls short in an important game, the best coach sits with them to help them see failure not as something to be ashamed of, but rather a step toward getting better. When a young artist struggles to find their way with new media, the best art instructor is right there, encouraging them to find their own unique style. One striking example happened just this week in Bishop's Hall. The 4th grade play will be performed this coming Wednesday and Thursday. Many people know this is an annual Trinity tradition where 4th graders rehearse and perform a full-length musical that year after year is really quite extraordinary. But what fewer know is that almost every year, the entire play is written by members of our faculty, the wonderfully creative and talented Becca Chapman and Alex Smith. Year after year, this duo writes a play full of zany and idiosyncratic character roles that are not only perfect fits for each of the individual 4th grade children they know so well, but at the same time draws the energy and spark and uniqueness of each child forth to shine on stage. This year, for example, one little boy who just has to be in motion has been cast in a role that requires him to float about the stage constantly in character, playing a part that could not be played by anyone with less energy. You just know that he, like all the children, is just thrilled to perform his role in the class play. Now, while I cannot claim that the amazing Trinity staff literally casts out demons, you might be surprised at how often it feels like we wrestle with them. A small child throwing a tantrum can get pretty violent. A middle schooler who feels misunderstood and alone can get pretty dark. In Christian communities like ours, in our school and in our church, there are countless loving people moving toward those experiencing these moments of suffering, stepping up and entering into sometimes confusing and unsteadied worlds experienced by many of today's young people with reassurance and love. What makes us us is when we make it our business to reach and teach the spirit of each of our students, to guide them in chapel and advisory and homeroom circle time about what it means to be gentle, generous, truthful, kind, and brave. What it looks like to be an upstander, building up the kingdom of God, one experience at a time. When the demon calls to Jesus from the man in the synagogue with, "What have you to do with us, Jesus?" he's really saying, "Do I matter to you, God?" When our students deeply struggle, that's their fear too. Do I matter? Do my teachers and other adults in my life, whom I respect and sometimes admire, respect me, care about me? The great truth that Jesus teaches, the great truth we try to live into every day, is that all people are God's children. All are deserving of attention and care, even when they throw tantrums, even when they go dark. While we do not put up with just any kind of behavior, in fact, we must not accept acts of cruelty, dishonesty, or selfishness, we're called up to stand up and move toward those who struggle and suffer, and like Jesus did, offer our strength and care to help make them whole. That is the nature of real community. That is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, even if you're not all that religious or even Christian. That's what love looks like. Stepping up for those who suffer, standing up for those in need. Our gospel translation says Jesus taught with authority. But thinking of authority as power is not what our reading is trying to say. Ancient Greek, the original language of the New Testament, uses a different word for power. Here, exousion is better translated as the right or authority that comes from being just, seeing that things are made right, the authority of the actually righteous. Every Friday, I use the final blessing of the chapel service to encourage the entire community to stand up for what is right, even when it's hard. When we do that, we act with no less than the authority of God. As the beloved children of God, how could we do otherwise?